Tonight's shiur, we're going to be focusing on a very interesting part of Hilchos Pesach that not to be confused with other parts of Hilchos Pesach, that it's very interesting when it comes to Pesach. People are very into minhagim, very minhagim based. Some minhagim make sense, some don't make sense. But this, I want to make very clear from the beginning, is not like gebrokst, which was made up, so to say, in the 1700s, 1800s. Something like kidneys, which we're going to discuss this evening, predates that by about 700 years. And it wasn't made up by Chassidim, it was made up by the Rishonim. So the whole basis for it has to be taken with a whole different consideration because of its origin. The purpose of tonight's show is just to clarify some of the issues and the practical applications of kidneys. But again, with all Pesach-like questions, obviously one owns Rav should be consulted with regard to what, how one should conduct themselves. To begin the question of what exactly is kidneys, what exactly is the prohibition, what's the issue, what's the discussion, it all begins with the Mishnah Pesachim number 1, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah Pesachim tells us the following. Elu Dvarim Sha'adam Yaitze Behem Yidei Chavasa BePesach. What are the following types of foods that a person can use to fulfill his obligation of matzah? What can he use? What can he make flour out of to use for matzah? So the Mishnah says very clearly, Chitim Sa'irim. He can use wheat, barley, kusman, uvishifon, spelt and rye, vishibay leshul, and he can use shibay leshul. I'm not going to translate that word shibay leshul because there's a bit of a controversy what shibay leshul is. But the Mishnah gives us, these are the five grains that a person can use to make matzah from. Matzah made from any other grain, one does not fulfill his obligation of matzah. We mostly make our matzah out of wheat. That's where most of our matzah comes from. Now, shibay leshul is on the list of being one of the five grains that you can use for matzah. This grouping over here is relevant not just to matzah, but this is known as the chameshes minei dagan. The chameshes minei dagan has special rules. Firstly, it's the only type of dagan that you can use for matzah. A. B. It's the only type of dagan that you make a mezoinus and an almechia on, is these five grains. Also, it's relevant to the shayla of challah. If you make dough out of this, you need to take off challah. And it's also relevant to the issue of chadash and yashan. The prohibition of chadash only applies to these five grains. What exactly is shibay leshul? So you ask any school child, they'll tell you shibay leshul is oats. And therefore you can make oats. You can make matzah out of oats. Many people prefer oat matzahs for those that have sensitive stomachs because oats have much less gluten than wheat. So a lot of people who have sensitive stomachs will make matzahs out of oats and they'll eat oat matzah. You can buy today, very popular is oat matzah. What's the problem with oats being using oats for matzah? Because not everyone agrees that the definition of shibay leshul means oats. Rashi over here and in other places in Shas, Rashi says, what's shibay leshul? 1b says Rashi, abayna. Okay, that's a French word. You're going to have to trust me on that. It's a French word from avayno, A-V-E-I-N-O, give or take, which if you look in the translation of Old French, it comes out to be oats. So Rashi is the one who tells us shibay leshul is oats.
And they make a skin cream called
avayna. Right. That's right, because that was the French word, at least the old French word in times of Rashi, for what they'd make for oats. So Rashi held it was oats. However, there's a relatively famous botanist in Eretz Yisrael, a Talmudic botanist. You know, he's not trying to make trouble, he's trying to be very honest, named Dr. Yehuda Felix, who did a lot of research on this topic, and he found that he doesn't believe it's true. He doesn't believe the oats that we talk about today were the oats described by the times of the Mishnah. And he doesn't believe they even had oats in Eretz Yisrael, the times of the Mishnah. And he doesn't believe Shibay Leshul means oats. And he was a very big proponent for saying that this is not correct. And he felt that we should not be using oats for matzah. And for that matter, you shouldn't be making a mezainis on oats. Because he held Shibay Leshul doesn't mean oats. Throughout history, over the last, I'd say, 25, 30, maybe 50 years, people have been pushing this issue, is Shibay Leshul really oats or not? So they presented it to Rav Moshe, and he rejected it, and Rabbi Yashiv, and he rejected it, Rav Salvechik, and he rejected it. None of them wanted to hear this new creative idea that Shibay Leshul means something other than oats, because we have a Messiah from Dairi Deiris, from Rashi, from other Rishonim, that Shibay Leshul is oats, and no one wants to rock the boat, and everyone thinks that Shibay Leshul is oats. The only problem is if you want to really be careful, and I know people that taka use oat matzah because they're sensitive to gluten, I'm not so sure if that's the right option, because on the other end, it might be that It is not oats. And shibay l'shul and you're not yaitze matzah. We're taking a suffix as a deraisa. If shibay l'shul is not oats and you're going to use oats for your matzah, you're not yaitze the mitzvah deraisa. So it's a little bit of a tricky thing. Mitzad sheni, if you look at all the contemporary acharonim, they all say that I'm wrong. They all say that Dr. Felix is wrong. And they all say, of course, oats is what you should use. Rabbi Avadya Yosef writes like that. And that was the opinion of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And that was the opinion of Rabbi Moshe and Rabbi Yashim, and a whole list of very big rabbanim. But I was so happy to hear, I heard a recording from Rav Herschel Schechter, a shiur he gave in 2011, where he pointed out this question, and he said that if a person has mamish no other choice, their stomach cannot handle any other, obviously you're not mechuyav to get sick over eating the matzah. So you should eat the old matzah, but he suggested you shouldn't make a hamotzi on it, nor should you wash on it. Because on the suffik brachas part, maybe it's not one of the five grains. So he suggested if you need to eat old matzah, you shouldn't make a hamotzi on it. You probably shouldn't make a achilas matzah on it, because of the same question, nor should you mention it. So if a person is going to eat all matzah, and again, maker adin, I think you could probably be saying on a whole list of rabbanim that we just quoted, that oats are what we use for hundreds of years, and stop rocking the boat and stop being a troublemaker. But if you want to be choishish for this opinion, that oats are not really chameshish minadogan, so then you should hear the bracha from someone else, and don't bench. Let someone else be mitzi you the benching. So, if a person is talking in a situation where he's stuck, and he can't use matzah, the other types of matzah, so I guess he should use oat matzah. But it's not so pasha that oat matzah should be used. The truth is either way, the Rama writes in Darkei Moshe that you should always try to use wheat matzah if you can. That a person should try. Again, if he has a reason why he can't eat, a person is not mechuyev to get very sick because he's doing a mitzvah of eating matzah. If a person is taka, very sensitive, he has serious medical ailments from eating wheat, of course he shouldn't eat the wheat. But if we're talking about someone who can handle it, he just likes the way oat matzah tastes better. Maybe oat matzah is cheaper, even though it's not. It's actually more expensive. But other than that, a person should try to stay clear of the oat matzah because it is a dispute amongst the Paiskim whether or not it's really considered one of the Chameshis Minidog. But this is not just a matzah issue. This is an issue all the time. Anytime you eat oats, what bracha do you make? Do you make a mezainis or don't you make a mezainis? In any case, these are the five options that of grains a person uses to make matzah. So the Gemara tells us right away, Hani in oireis v'doichin loy. Only these grains can be used for making matzah, as opposed to what, says Rashi, as opposed to rice and doichin, which is millet. It's some form of a corn. Those you can't use for matzah. Why can't I use for make matzah? So the Gemara says a drush. Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, v'chein tana de Reb Shmuel, v'chein tana de Reb Loz ben Reb Yaakov, amakra. It says in the pasuk, lo yiseichel olav chametz, don't eat chametz, shivas yom for 7 days, shivas yom toichel olav matzahs. Don't eat chametz, instead, eat matzah. So the Gemara makes a drush. Dvarim haba'am l'dei chimutz, something that could potentially become chametz, adem yaitze behem yidei chavasai, matzah. Then you can use it for matzah. Yatzu elu, it excludes those like rice, she'enam ba'am l'dei chametz. Rice can't become chametz. No matter what you do to it, it doesn't become chametz. What does it become, says the Gemara? Ela l'dei sirchen. It gets ruined. So the Gemara is telling us a big yisayit over here, that the only grains that you can use for matzah are the grains that turn into chametz. Now, it would have been a lot easier for us if it wasn't like that, because then we wouldn't have to have 18 minutes, and we wouldn't have to watch anything, because what are you worried about? It doesn't turn into chametz. But it's not like that. The Gemara tells us the only grains that can be used for matzah are grains that can technically, if not taken care of properly, can turn into chametz. Says the Gemara, but rice can't become chametz. Okay? So the Gemara is telling us very clear, rice can't become chametz. Good. I can't use it for matzah, so I can't make rice matzah. Fine, no problem. I can't use it for matzah. But it's not chametz. So how does kitnias become a problem? The Gemara tells us clearly, oireis is not chametz. No matter what you do to the rice, no matter how you process it, it doesn't become chametz. So if rice doesn't become chametz, and rice is the example of kitnias, so what's the problem with kitnias? You tell me what, kitnias is a chash chametz? The Gemara says clearly it's not chametz. Now, the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, well, that's not agreed by all. There's another opinion in the Gemara. Masnisin the like of Yechonon ben Nuri. This Mishnah is not with the opinion of Yechonon ben Nuri. The Amr of Yechonon ben Nuri, he says no. Oireis min dogan. He disagrees. He thinks rice is one of the five grains. V'chayiv al chimutz karis. And you would be chayiv karis. He disagrees. He thinks you could make matzah out of rice. He thinks rice could become chametz. So if rice could become chametz, so you can make matzah out of rice. So he disagrees. Almost all the Rishayim say we reject the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, his opinion doesn't count. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with the idea that rice can't become chametz. Good, I can't use it for matzah because of a special drasha. You can only use things that could become chametz. That's fine. You know, you can't use candy either for matzah, but you're allowed to have it on Pesach. So where exactly did it come from, this idea? You're not allowed to eat rice on Pesach. Who made it up? And more so, it seems to be explicitly against the Gemara. Now there's another Gemara I didn't put on the sheet. There's a Gemara later on at the end of Psachim, the Arab Psachim. The Gemara tells us that Rava used to eat rice. Mafurisha Gemara, Rava ate rice, Rav Huna ate rice. So there's explicit Gemaras that the Amoraim had no problem with rice. So who dreamt up a problem with rice and rice-like type of things? So this seems to have been a new problem after the Gemara was done, after Zman HaGemara. In the times of the Tanoim, in the times of the Amoraim, they ate rice without any problems, they ate beans, they had cholent, no one had a problem. In the times of the Goinim and the early Rishonim, starting at, let's say, the 800, 900, that time era, maybe a little later, 1,000, all of a sudden everything changed. All of a sudden there came this new din that no longer can we eat rice. Rice, beans, and all the like. What happened? What changed? So the Torah over here, number 2, tells us that really rice is not a problem. V'gam ein bo'am l'dei chimutz. Number 2 says the Torah, it doesn't become chametz. You can make a cake out of rice. You want to make a rice cake? Go for it. No problem on Pesach. You can't use it for matzah. Fine. So you eat it as a rice cake. V'chaim chol mina kidneys, all types of beans. But v'yesh oisrim l'echol oireis. No. There are those who prohibited the eating of rice. V'chol mina kidneys and all the types of beans. B'tavshel in a dish form. Why? V'fishem mina chitim is'arvim behen. Now we have a reason. Says the Torah, the reason, one of the reasons in Rishonim to why they prohibited kidney is because how were these beans grown? They were grown right next to the wheat fields. So when you'd scoop up a whole pile of beans, in there there'd be little kernels of wheat. So you took that whole pile home and you baked the cake. So in the cake there's a wheat kernel. That wheat kernel makes the whole thing chametz. So the reason why the Rishonim prohibited eating kidneys was not because the kidneys itself is a problem, but because since the kidneys grow right next to wheat, and a kernel of wheat could have got mixed in with your rice, even today it's still an issue. So therefore, the Rishonim said, no, we have to stay clear of all the rice, because maybe a kernel got mixed in. This is the Rishonim's reason, first reason brought down for why kidneys was prohibited. Not because it's chametz. Says the Torah, v'chumra yisei rehizu. This is too much for me, says the Torah. This is a very big chumra. This wasn't the accepted custom. So the Torah rejects this option of that we are not allowed to eat kidneys. He thinks it's far-fetched. It's hard to believe. He doesn't think that this is something we have to be concerned with. This is one of the first reasons. Now, one can make a very fair argument. This is only a problem if it comes in contact with both water and then cooked. We have wheat all the time. Our matzahs come from wheat. Wheat aren't a problem. Wheat not treated properly is chametz. Wheat is not a problem. So what happens? A guy takes up a whole bushel of beans and it never comes in contact with water. It never cooks it, never gets hot. What should be the problem? So the Trumas Hadeshin has such a possibility that maybe it shouldn't be. But Lamaisa, we hold it even without that. Even if it doesn't come in contact with heat, it doesn't come in contact with water, it's still a problem to consume or to have these kidneys. There's another reason in the Rishonim. If you look in the Beis Yosef, in number 3, it's a little small print. Beis Yosef goes on to tell us some other Rishonim. He quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, those that have a custom not to eat rice and beans, he says, minuk shtosu. It's a minuk shtos. These are the Rishonim talking. Minuk shtos, he calls it. Zulasim and oisim machmer alatzim, unless they're doing it because they personally want to be machmer. V'yedati loma, I don't know why on earth, says Rabbi Yerucham, anyone would take this chumra. It was foreign to the Rishonim. It was like one day, all of a sudden the world changed. Now we have a new chumra. It wasn't in the Gemara. It wasn't earlier. It wasn't predated. So where did it come from? So Rabbi Yerucham says, it's a shtos. You don't have to keep it. Now goes Maimon is quotes from the smack. And he says, no, it's a serious thing. Kulam pulim v'adoshim yesh noigim misalachon b'pesach. There are those that have such a custom. V'chein Reb Shmuel me'ira. Avar Rabbi Yerucham yechiel b'shag g'doylem. Hoi noig b'am heter. He says, I can't be matrit, given shachem nog ben isser. Since already some people started adapting this as an isser, I can't be matrit. But what's the reason? So he gives us a different reason. It can't be because of chametz. Why? So ask any kid on the street, why can't you eat kidneys? The kid will know it's not because kidneys are chashash chametz. We saw the Gemara says it's not chametz. The Gemara says, oireis can't become chametz. So then why prohibit it? So the Torah told us the reason was because it mixes. He says differently. He says, you know why? Because what's going to happen? You're going to take beans, and you're going to grind them up, and you're going to make a dish. You're going to take rice, grind it up, use it as flour. And you're going to make a cake out of it. And your neighbor comes over, a first day Pesach, and says, hey, what are you eating? It looks like a beautiful cake. He'll say, oh, you made a cake. I'm going to go home and make a cake also. How's he going to make his cake? With wheat. He's going to take a cake and make it out of wheat. So we're choishes that people are going to confuse a cake made out of these other beans versus a cake made out of wheat, and people are going to get confused, and we're going to have problems, and we have to stop this whole thing. Therefore, a person is not allowed to eat any form of these grains. Yeah.
The issue of growing one crop next to the other, I assume it's possible that that wasn't so in the times of the Chazal, but certainly the issue of somebody confusing a cake.
And so right. So some of so the interesting thing is the chash of things getting mixed and still apply today, as we'll see later on. Even Sfardim rice, they can't just buy a regular box of rice off the shelf. They have to buy specifically checked rice. Can't just buy any rice, because we're still chayshish. And we'll talk a little later tonight when we get to quinoa. When the OU finally came around and permitted quinoa for Pesach, they didn't just say quinoa, any quinoa you want. Again, we're always chayshish about these kernels getting mixed in. Even today, with all the technology that we have, it's still a chash. But the other thing is that the other reason the Rishayim are telling us is because you're worried about the cake. So the answer is that back in the times of Rishayim, they were more knowledgeable. They knew there was a difference between this cake and that cake. Today, we don't know. We're not so smart. We get all confused. We see a cake. We don't know what grain it came from, and therefore, we have to prohibit it. That's the other reason in Rishayim. Now, obviously, the obvious question is going to be, if you go with the second reasoning of the Rishayim, why are you allowed to eat matzah meal? All the cakes that we have today, forget potato starch. We'll deal with that later. Matzah meal. You can't get more cake-like than that. The cakes look terrific today. They look like real cakes. So if I'm going to come to someone's house and he's going to serve me dessert, it's going to be a matzah meal cake. Assuming he eats kibrok, then I'll make him a zainus on and all that. Why am I not going to confuse that with... you can't get better than that. They look good. And definitely looks like a cake. It smells like a cake. It's a cake. So why are we not chayshish for that? So that's something that really has to be addressed. Why wouldn't that become a new prohibition based on that reasoning? The two standard reasons given in the Paiskim exactly to why we prohibit kineis is what we saw earlier. One reason is because of the grain getting mixed in, and the other reason is because people will confuse it. The Mishnah Berurah brings down both reasons. That may lead us to believe that both reasons are true. It's not that they're different arguing reasons, but they're both true reasons. When we deal with kinema, we're going to have to see where does kinema fall. Does it meet both reasons or only one reason? We'll have to discuss. Just Bederich, it's not a joke, but there's a Rabbeinu Menoyach to his Pirish on the Rambam. He gives a completely, totally different reason why the minhag was not to eat beans. Nothing to do with chametz. He says, number four, Meishein derech la'achol kidney es b'moyed. It's not the derech to eat it on Yom Tov. Why? Sharek siv, v'samachta b'chagecha, ve'ein simcha ba'aveilu es tafshol kidneys. That's not v'samachta. It's not a simcha to eat beans. It's not a respectable dish. It's not a chashev dish. And that's why we don't eat beans. Not because of chametz. Nothing to do with chametz. Don't worry, chametz. We don't eat beans because it's not a respectable dish. There's a berhetiv and hilchas tachanun in Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph where he brings down a minug that there are those... What? The beans, right. Yeah. So he brings down a minug that people would not eat beans on any day when they didn't say tachanun. Why? Listen to this one. Because it's a minhag avelus. We know that beans are minhag avelus. So a day when you don't say tachanun is a shtekel yom tif. So they would never eat beans. So maybe that's the pshat. Maybe because on Pesach is the chayrus, the last thing we want to bring in, even though we do it at the Seder anyways, we always mishavan, we have a neg at the Seder. But maybe you don't want to bring in anything that's remotely connected to avelus. So this is the Rabbeinu Menoyach's pshat. This didn't really make it into the reasons in the Rishonim, but it's worthwhile mentioning that Rabbeinu Menoyach feels that the reason for the minug has to do with the problem of simcha. Okay. The Ritva and Pesach, again, there's a list of Rishonim. There's Mamish Rishonim Mikatz al Katz. Some Rishonim bring down the minhag, and some Rishonim reject it adamantly and say it's ridiculous. Where did this come from? There's a bunch of Rishonim on both sides. The Ritva and Pesach has an interesting opinion over here. He wants to say that the Gemara said Oiris can't become Chametz. The Gemara doesn't mean Oiris can't become Chametz at all. It means it can't become Chametz Dereisa. It can become what's called Chametz Derabon and what we call Chametz Nuksha. What's chametz nuksha? Again, it's a complicated topic, but chametz nuksha is a chametz derabanan that has some chametz somewhere in there, even though it's not a regular edible type of food. That's what chametz nuksha is. So the Ritva wants to suggest such a possibility, which would then work very nicely, that the reason why kidneys was prohibited was because of a chametz problem. But he rejects it. He thinks it's not true. And in the middle, he writes that the minog hapashut b'chol sefarad was everyone ate oyres without any problem. But he says at the end, just because I permitted eating rice, it doesn't mean you can eat any rice you want. He still says at the end of the piece, L'chein tzorech livdik oisem pam achar pam. You got to check it one time after another. You got to check it. The place can bring down three times. You got to check through your rice. Be'iyun godl. Very careful. The halav is chazik esuru. Given the milsa shchichatuv, it's very, very possible that there is kernels of wheat in there. So even those who are allowed to eat rice, says the Ritva, you got to check your rice first. Now the truth is, American rice today has a different problem. Forget checking for wheat; it's enriched. It's enriched. A lot of the rice you could buy today is enriched. It's enriched with possibly chametz stuff. So if you're going to buy kosher Pesach rice, you have to make sure it's not enriched. The OU today did us a big favor, or the Bnei Sfarad, they did a big favor. They make kosher Pesach OUP kidneyous rice. That rice is A, checked, and B, it's not enriched, and therefore you don't have a problem of chametz on the enrichment. But if you're just going to take a box of rice off the shelf and eat it because you're a Sfardi, that's not, you're going to have a problem. First of all, it's not checked, and secondly, it's going to be enriched, and that enriched could be with something that's chametz. The Gra and the Prichodesh were very troubled. Who gave the Rishonim the right to make up a new din? I know the Rishonim are respectable people, but who gave them the right to make up a new Isser? If anything, you read the Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara in Pesachim is clear. Oireis is not a problem. Comes the Rishonim, also now we have new problems. Who are you? The Prichodesh writes that after the Zman HaGemara, we couldn't make any new Gzeiris. So who gave the Rishonim the right to make a new Gzeiris? Maybe they're right, maybe it's very practical what they're saying, but they don't have a right to make up new rules. So the Gra and the Prichodesh both say, no, I found the Gemara that backs up Kitnius. Where is that Gemara that backs up Kitnius? So the Gra number 6 writes, it's a Gemara Pesachim Mem Amid Beis Rav Papa Shari. Okay? What's the Gemara over there talking about? The Gemara over there talking about was when they were cooking in the Beit Reish Galusa. So Taisus over there says they were talking about a certain dish. As Machlokes Rishonim, we had to learn what that dish was. So Taisus learns that dish was Adashim. They were cooking some form of beans. And the Gemara over there says they didn't allow it to go out of the kitchen. Because why? People would get confused. They'd say, what's the difference between a rice dish and a wheat dish? Ah, says Taisus, give us, says the Gemara, beautiful. I found the Gemara in Pesachim, where the times of the Amoraim, they were concerned about the chashash of confusing. So now I have it. I got a makar. It's a Gemara in Pesachim. So says the Prichodesh, it's not the Rishonim made it up, it's a Mefarsha Gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim, at least according to Taisus' understanding of the Gemara, not Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, but Taisus' understanding of the Gemara, we have a makar now that Kitnius is prohibited based on the Gemara. That's what he assumes. So in the Rishonim, it was always debated. Some Rishonim loved the idea, Rabbi Yerucham did not, obviously did not like the idea. There is a sefer called Besamim Rush, a very fascinating sefer. The reason why it's fascinating is because it's controversial. Any sefer that's controversial is always fascinating. What exactly is a sefer called Besamim Rush? Who wrote it? So if you ask different people, they'll tell you it was written by the Rush. The Rush was a Choshev Rishon. The problem is it's hard to believe it was written by the Rush, even though in my Oitzer HaChochma, the way it works is they have all the Svarim on the disc, on the piece, and they write next to the Sefer who the author is. So next to Besamim Rosh, they write it's the Rosh. But not everyone agrees to that. They don't think the Rosh wrote the Sefer Besamim Rosh. So what does it say in Besamim Rosh? In the Sefer Besamim Rosh, he writes like this. Zarus huzeh. He thinks the whole concept of Kitnius is foreign. Zarus. Sha'adavim afurish begemar lehetev leinoide b'shamakam. The Gemara says it's a mutter. Who made a problem with it? Obviously, he wasn't assuming like the Gra. That's based on the Gemara in Pesachim. We don't have to come up with reasons. We spend our whole day trying to figure out why Kitnius was us. It says the B'Sam Rosh, don't waste your time. He says, he thinks this was made by people that got kicked out and travelers and they got all confused. The ignorant made up this whole din Kitnius. It's not the Rishonim. It was the Amaratzim and Klai Yisrael made it up. They started this new minhag, and they passed it then to their kids, and the whole thing is all, like Rabbi Yerucham calls it, shtos. It was all made up, says the B'Salim Reish. Who made it up? He thinks it was made up by the Kiroim. Who are the Kiroim? The Kiroim were the troublemakers. The Kiroim were the people who took Teresh HaBiksav, and they didn't care about Teresh HaBalpeh. The Kiroim were the people that held that you're not allowed to have any fire going in your house on Shabbos. It says, Lo Yisavar Reish, you're not allowed to have fire in your house. So they used to turn off the lights on Friday, and the lights would go out, and they sat in the dark a whole Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham brings down, if you don't have, this is the minute why we eat chalent on Shabbos. Why do we eat chalent on Shabbos? Because you want to have a hot dish. Why do you want to have a hot dish? Because you want to show the Karayim that they're wrong. That we hold you allowed to have a fire, as long as you didn't put it up on Shabbos, you put it up before Shabbos. So we bedavka have a hot dish. The Baal HaMor says, if you don't have chalent, you don't have a hot dish, you have to be choshish, maybe you're from the Karayim. You have to check your yichus. When I got married, my wife told me and her growing up, they didn't have chalent in the house. I said, oy vey. I have to be worried. But some of them, they had soup instead Shabbos day. So you had soup, so you had something else hot. So you're okay. Baruch Hashem. I don't have to be worried that they're from the Kiroi. So says the B'Samim Rosh, this whole minig of Kitnius is made up by a bunch of troublemakers. Don't give it any validity. Don't give it any consideration. Move on. Don't worry about it. Okay? That's a big statement. The problem is most people think that this sefer is a sefer mezuyef. It's a forged sefer. You can't use anything that's used in the sefer. Some people who own the sefer would throw it out. They wouldn't keep it in their house. They held the sefer as no validity. The problem is it's quoted quite often by Gedalia Achrayim. Many Chashiva people quoted this tshuva. But Mevad Yosef has a tshuva on it where he doesn't believe this B'Sam Reish has any validity. So the fact that it says it in the sefer does not be a sniff l'hakava. I'm going to go around being Matar Kitnius. I saw an article that the conservative movement Paskin this year, the kidneys is not usr. They came to an agreement this year, it's mutter. They were matter it. They took a Rishonim ban over the last, I don't know, 1,200 years, and they're matter it. So maybe they're saying on this Pesamim Reish. I don't know. I don't know if they saw it. But maybe that's their Sniffel Hakka. They say the Pesamim Reish. He was a Chashavir. They might have even been the Rush. This is not what we're going to be saying on kidneys. Is this Pesamim Reish? This is widely rejected by the later Achrein. So how do we Paskin the Halacha? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, and Simin Tov Nun Gimel, the Mechaber writes, you can't use rice and other beans for matzah because they can't become chametz. But you can make a dish out of it. Cook it, no problem. Okay, so we know how the Mechaber passes. This is why Sfardim never had a problem with kidneys because there was never an eskabel in their communities. Hagah says the Ramah v'yesh ha'isrim, there are those who prohibit it. V'haminag ba'ashkenaz lahachmir. But the widely accepted custom in Ashkenazi European Jewry is to be machmir, and this is the best part. V'ein l'shanis. Why did Ramah add those two words? Because the Ramah knew they were going to be troublemakers. They don't want to say, come on, it's so far-fetched, who are you, you know? Said to him, v'ein l'shanis, don't change. Don't tell me Torah, don't tell me cheshbaynes, don't tell me rishonim. V'ein l'shanis. It doesn't change. Nothing you can do about it. We're stuck with this. We have this minhag. We Ashkenazim Jewry have it. Sfaradim don't. Ve'ein l'shanes. It can't be changed. It can't be rocked. It can't be moved. We continue the minhag of ve'ein l'shanes. Interestingly enough, the Ramah goes on to continues to say, but this kidneys is not like regular chametz. What does that mean? What would happen if a little bit of kidneys falls into your Pesach, kosher Pesach dish? What happens then? So the Ramah says it doesn't passel up the tafshel. So I was listening to a share from Rav Asher Weiss of Eretz Yisrael. So he said over a story, he gets a call from a guy about an hour before the Seder, frantic. The guy's nervous, unbelievable. So what happened, he said his wife cooked a beautiful Pesach Seder, Shulchan Aruch, everything terrific. She just finished, and the in-laws are coming, the parents are coming, the whole family's coming. She cooked a beautiful Pesach. She realized that all the dishes that she made were spiced with kidneyous spices. Because in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut gives hashkocha to kidneys. So everything's kidneys. The Sfaradim, kidneys. So she built a beautiful Shulchan Aruch, everything with kidneys. So what do you do now? She threw everything out. What are you going to do? It's an hour before Pesach. So Rabbi Asher Weiss told the fellow, it's not a problem. He said, why is it not a problem? He said, because the Ramah writes that if you have a little bit of kidneys, it's batel. The problem is, we have a rule that spices can't become batel. They're to give taste. They can't become batel. So he says there's a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah passes, what does it mean? Do you need to have shishim keneged it? Do you have to have 60 times more non-kidneyous to the kidneyous or not? So the Mishnah Berurah says you don't. You don't have to have 60 times more. You just have to have that there's more kosher or pesachdik than kidneyous. Obviously with spices in a big chicken, it's for sure going to be okay. And therefore he ruled it's okay. So clearly we see that that's a leniency. Real chametz, that would not work. If she used chametz stick of things, that would be a real, real problem. So clearly kidneys is on a different footing than regular chametz. Secondly, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to sell or throw out your kidneys. You just leave it in the house. Just don't eat it. Leave it. Put it in a cabinet and don't eat it. You don't have to sell it. Yeah.
When did corn become
popular? Very good. I want to get to corn. Corn's a big one.
It's very different.
Yeah, corn's a big one. Corn's is a big problem. We're going to have to get to corn. But that for sure is a problem. That's like right under rice is corn, even though it's a good question of why exactly is it.
We're going to try
to get to corn in a second. At some point tonight, we're going to try to deal with corn. Because corn is really the trouble one. Everything comes from corn today. The corn syrup and the corn starches, all the starches that we talk about, and every ingredient basically starts off with corn starch. So if we can knock that out, we can have a lot of more tasty things for sure. Our soda could taste better, and a lot of things could taste much better if we can bypass cornstarch. But in any case...
It's just a bedievit situation with the rice.
Which way?
If you don't have something.
So we're going to talk about in the Paiskim talk about, well, it's on my second page of Ma'amar Kaim, is throughout history, Nebuch, we've suffered as a nation, and there have been times where people couldn't get regular things. I have various tshuvas written over here. I don't know if we're going to get to it today. One tshuva written by, from the Shailos and Tshuvas, Mima Makim. A sefer written by Rabbi Ephraim Ashri, who were shailos and tshuvas that represented him for the Jews living in the ghetto. And in the ghetto, they could only get arbis. That's all the Nazis gave them was arbis. So the shaila came up, are they allowed to eat arbis? You can imagine they even started to declare a shaila can they eat arbis. You know, today we want to be matir everything, and they were worried about eating arbis in the ghetto. So he writes a tshuva about it. There was a tshuva written by others. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer where he told the soldiers that were going into the Russian army what they're allowed to do. And in that safe, he tells them, if you have nothing else, you'll add a kidneys also. But we're going to see not everyone wanted to be so makel with kitnius. There's a tshuva from Rabbi Misholem Rotta and Kol Mevaser, where he writes in the early 1950s in Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to be matlek kitnius also, because the financial situation was very bad in the beginning, right after the Hakamas HaMedina. Things were not very good financially for the Jews. So he also wanted to be matter. And he writes, during World War I, they were also matlek kitnius. So there definitely were times in history, as the Mishnah Berurah writes, Lutzarech, the most common case of kitnius are for babies. The baby formula is almost all kitnius. So we're not going to tell the babies to starve for 8 days and not to eat kitnius. So the babies are allowed to eat kitnius. They need it. They have no choice. What happens if someone's on a kitnius diet? It gets very tricky. If a person can't eat regular food and all he eats is kitnius, so he might be allowed to eat kitnius on Pesach also. Because it's only somewhat of a rishonim, but makom tzar, if a person's very uncomfortable, we would permit it. There's a discussion, why was coffee never included in this prohibition? That's asa coffee. Can you imagine no coffee for 8 days? That would never work. That's the kind of shi'ef shalamed, but people can't handle that. So the Shari Tshuva has a whole discussion. Is a coffee bean considered a bean, a seed? What do you consider it? So he rejects this possibility. He says the Velt is not knowing that coffee beans are a problem, even though other beans are a problem, because a coffee bean is not a regular type of a bean, it's a different type of a bean. He brings down from the Ma'aril writes, someone who doesn't keep kitnius is oiver loy saser. And he's considered oiver al divrei chachamim, and he's chayiv misa. So if anyone, the conservative movement, if they're listening and they want to decide that kitnius is not mutter, so the Ma'aril says they're chayiv misa. So I wouldn't be so quick to throw off this idea of kitnius. However, there's a very famous piece in the Sefer Moruk Tzir written by Rabbi Yaakov Emden, where he quotes from his father. I photocopied it over here, but we don't have enough time to read it inside. Rabbi Yaakov Emden quotes his father that his father was so bothered. His father, Chacham Tzvi, talking about the 1600s, he was so bothered by this idea of kitnius, it killed him. He couldn't handle it. He thought it's such a mistake to adapt the chumrah of kitnius. Why? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, his father held that it's a chumrah da'asa l'dekul. What's going to happen? We're so machbah not to eat kitnius. What's going to happen? We're going to just bake more matzahs. What's going to happen? We're going to bake more matzahs. We're going to be less careful. Because we got to get it out. Got to get produced. Got to make more matzah. Because that's all you have to eat. Now, this is before they had kosher Pesach food. So if you're not eating rice, you got to eat matzah. So what's going to happen? We're so worried about the rice. So we're just going to mass produce the matzahs much quicker and faster. We're not going to be careful. So what's going to happen? You're going to be such a frum person, you're not going to eat rice. Instead, you're going to eat chametz tikka matzah. So instead of being over chashash, she'll be over nisa de rice. Oh, terrific idea. So his father, Chacham Tzvi, said, it makes no sense. What are we doing? So he was so troubled by this. And he writes, it always bothered him. Every Pesach, it bothered him. He said, Ishi chayli avatlinu. If it would be up to me, I would forget the whole kitnius. I'd be mavatal it. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden quotes from his father, but his father said, I know I can't, and I'm not trying to. I just said, I wish I could. If it would be up to me, I would abolish kitnius. But it's not up to me. I'm not the Baal HaBos on kitnius. So I'm not going to get rid of it. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, he says, I wish I could be part of the group of people that are going to come one day and abolish the minig of kitnius. Okay, it hasn't happened yet. I don't know, hope maybe it will, I don't know. It hasn't happened since the 1600s, it's been pretty widely accepted. But the Yaakov Emden and the Chacham Tzvi, they were very against it. They thought this is not such a good idea. This is a very nice chumrah, but it's going to end up backfiring, that people are going to be making with chumrah. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, this is what he writes. He writes, today it became Niskabel number 9b, and he says, V'hamakilim b'zeh, those that are lenient with kitnius, me'idin al atzman she'ein behem yiras shemayim v'yiras chait. The person wants to be lax with kitnius, says Aruch HaShulchan, it's a testimonial that you are not a Yerei Shemayim, and you are not Yerei Chet, and you're not a Baki B'darki HaTorah. So, no one wants to walk around with a sign like that on their neck, so I would stay clear of the kitnius. So Aruch HaShulchan, again, he was much later, he was the late 1800s, early 1900s, so already again, even though the Chacham Tzvi made his comment, no one changed anything, and kitnius became the skabel b'chol tfutzas b'nei Ashkenaz, starting from the times of Rishonim up till today included. The Chayk Yaakov writes a very, very powerful statement. The Chayk Yaakov, to his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, writes that don't be machmir more than the kitnius that are established by the Paiskim. Don't bring us new kitnius. The kitnius that were around in the times of Rishonim stick with, and new kitnius I don't want to hear about. Why is this so important? Because the obvious question is, why are potatoes not kitnius? Potato starch. That is the exact thing we use today, for those who don't eat kibrox, or those gluten-free, what do you use today to bake cookies and cakes? Potato starch.
Also almond flour.
Almond flour also, right? So almond is much better because almond is a fruit. It was never included in it. What about potato? So should potato be prohibited under the premise of kitnius? So we all know today, come on, potatoes. If you don't eat potatoes, what are you going to eat on Pesach? Nothing left. So the truth is the Chayodom has a whole discussion about it. And he writes in number 10 that he heard in the city of Pravada, which is in Germany, Bishnas Tov Kof Lamed Alf, 1771, Shahir Rav Gadol was a big hunger. Ba'ashkenaz, Hashivu Bezdin, they put up a Bezdin, Vehatiru Bulba Shekari and Adrafel. And they were matir potatoes. Matir potatoes? Who needs a hatar for potatoes? So you see from the Chai Adam, there was a minig in Klai, so that potatoes were awesome. It's an unbelievable thing, potatoes were awesome. So the Prima Gadim writes, no. So that's really the question. So the Prima Gadim says it's not at all in the family. Look at a potato. Does it look like a bean? It's huge. Look at it. Take a potato and look at a bean. They don't look similar at all. So the Prima Gadim says, you know why potatoes were never included? Not because of any other reason besides that they look clearly different. They're not from the same family. So that's why potatoes are never prohibited. Okay, well, that's good for the potato. What about the potato starch? Potato starch, that's clearly, again, today the Pesach goods are very good. You very easily can mistake a potato starch cake for a chametz sticker cake. So why isn't potato starch included? So they bring down a joke over here on the next page from the Nita Gavriel, brings down from the Tverish Shleima, from Radomsk. He brings down a line. He says, yeah, he says, Shetzrichim liten hoido, we all have to be grateful. We have to be grateful that potatoes were not in Europe in the times of the Rishonim, which is clear, a historical fact, they were not there. Why? Because if they had potatoes, they would have prohibited potatoes. So we should be so grateful that they did not have potatoes bizman and Rishonim. This is one of those examples of Ramban and Chumash, who writes that sometimes not having something is a bracha. How is not having something a bracha in this case? Because if you're not having potatoes, was the best thing for Klal Yisrael. Because if they would have had potatoes, we would not be allowed to eat potatoes today, nor would we be allowed to eat potato starch. Rav Shlomo Zalman in his Sefer Halicha Shleima addresses, what about matzah meal? What about potato starch? Why aren't those things aser? That should be aser. So he writes, he thinks they should be aser. Now, he doesn't say they are aser. He says, L'maisa, it was not niskabel. The minig wasn't like that. But he really thinks it should be aser. He says it's not aser. Baruch Hashem, because if not, we'd really be in trouble. But he says it's not, it wasn't accepted to become a problem.
Why should it be aser?
Because potato starch, a matzah meal, you bake a cake, it looks exactly like a chametz sticker cake. That was the whole reason.
Right.
Not because of the first reason, but the second reason of the Rishon. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a tshuva where someone asked him, are peanuts kitnius? Peanuts kitnius. This tshuva was in the early 70s. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says that he was by Rav Moshe when this question was presented, and Rav Moshe was laughing. Peanuts, kidneys? What are you talking about? Why should peanuts be kidneys? So Rav Moshe writes the whole tshuva addressing it. Now, at the end of the tshuva, Rav Moshe comes out that peanuts are mutter on Pesach. Now, you go looking now in stores and see kosher Pesach peanuts, you will not find. I don't know why, because Rav Moshe was moderate, and for many, I'm too young to know this, but people have told me that in earlier years, you could find kosher Pesach peanuts. You didn't need the OUP. People were eating peanuts. It wasn't a big deal. Today, you're not going to find it. None of the kashrus organizations give hashgacha to peanuts anymore. I remember Moshe writes a whole tshuva where it comes out of peanuts and mutter. I don't know. The matzia has changed. Not only peanuts, what about peanut oil? It's also a big discussion with peanut oil. They used to use it. They used to use all things based on Rav Moshe's tshuva. All of a sudden now, things changed. I don't know why exactly things. I was listening to a webinar from Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Belskis. That's how they were talking about this. And they're like, yeah, we don't know why things changed. And I said to myself, you guys make the rules. If you guys from the OU would go back and put peanuts on the list, we'd all be eating peanuts today. I don't make the rules. You guys make the rules. Are you asking why things have changed? Go back. So I don't know. For some reason, peanuts never made it now. Yeah, so that's the question with these types of things. See, today it's much easier today. They did us a favor. We have all these organizations, and they tell you what's kosher. So now we don't have to worry. We know what's included and what's not included. If we had to sit down and go through this list, we'd be very confused of exactly what's... So today, if you go in and it says OUP, you know, you can eat it. Other than that, I would stay clear of all these things. But so Rav Moshe says, why is peanuts not a problem? Says, Rav Moshe, what are you going to do with a peanut? You don't make peanut flour. Peanuts are not similar to seeds. So peanuts are mutter. Says Rav Moshe, secondly... You only have to take into consideration what was around in the times of the Rishonim. Says Rav Moshe, that's why potatoes were mutter. They weren't around in the times of the Rishonim. New things that come out later, says Rav Moshe, don't have to be taken into consideration, and they could be eaten without a problem. That was Rav Moshe's basic tshuva over here. So Rav Moshe Weiss has a big problem with this Rav Moshe's tshuva. Says Rav Moshe Weiss, it's not true. What about corn? Corn, without a doubt, is a kidneys. Everyone holds corn is on the top of the list. Corn was not around in the times of the Rishonim. No question, corn came later. Came later than potatoes. So if corn was not around in the times of Rishonim, and if Moshe's rule is right, so how did corn make its way to the list? Very good question. This is Rav Moshe Weiss's kasha on this Rav Moshe. So he wants to tell you that you see from this, you see from the fact that corn is usher, corn on the cob is a problem. Rav Hirshel Shechter says over a story where he gets a phone call from a guy in Chol HaMoed that his wife made a beautiful supper for Chol HaMoed, corn on the cob. A guy comes home and his wife makes him corn on the cob. She thinks she did the greatest thing in the world. He starts screaming at her. It's kitnius, corn on the cob. You made kitnius. So she asks what to do. So Rav Hirshel Shechter told him, what's the problem? Take the kitnius, take the corn on the cob, wrap it in a foil, put it in the fridge. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, kitnius you're allowed to keep. What about the pot? So pashtus is if the pot's an ena ben yoima. So let the pot sit 24 hours. Don't use it for kidneys. You don't have to kasher it. You don't have to kasher kidneys pots. Just let it sit for 24 hours. And after 24 hours, you use it for Pesach. That's not a problem. You told the guy to relax, calm down, don't scream at your wife. It's okay. It's not such a big deal. So why is corn aser? So frekta basha weiss, why is corn aser? So he wants to tell, and he thinks it's not true. He thinks we missed a boat. He thinks that the reason why potatoes were not included is not like Rav Moshe said because it wasn't around. It's because like the Prima Gadim says, because it's bigger, it looks different, it has a different appearance. Mashenkin corn, that looks more similar, that's why it became us. Why is this all relevant, this whole conversation? Because this was a question of quinoa. Quinoa became very, very popular a few years ago. So I heard from one of the high-ranking members of the OU, they said, why is quinoa such an issue? You think because so many people eat quinoa? He says, that's not the pshat. Do you know why quinoa is such an issue? Because someone decided that you can use quinoa for sushi. And sushi, that is something we cannot go 8 days without, is sushi. So now that you can use quinoa for sushi to replace the rice, and now we got to decide what's going to be the status of quinoa. So you have to work it out. What should the halachic status be for quinoa? On one end, you'd say, well, according to Rav Moshe, quinoa was not around the times of the Rishonim. Quinoa first came out recently. They didn't have it around for such a long time. Definitely not around the times of the Rishonim. So if you'd follow Rav Moshe's logic, one would have made the argument that quinoa shouldn't be prohibited. The problem is quinoa is definitely used as a staple to replace bread. They use quinoa to make bread, cookies. It's used in the problematic way. It's used in a way that is trying to mimic bread, which was the exact reason for the prohibition. Also, quinoa can have mixed in kernels with it. It's a very strong chashash. So the question is what to do with quinoa. So Rav Asher Weiss thinks for Davar Pasha, quinoa is aser. Nothing to talk about. He thinks it's aser. He thinks it would be as bad as potatoes, if not for the fact that potatoes look differently. He thinks quinoa is aser, and he rejects Moshe's tshuva over here. That wasn't the widely accepted opinion. In Eretz Yisrael, it is. In Eretz Yisrael, they kamato not give a hashkacha for quinoa and Pesach. Rabbi Eliashiv was against quinoa. The Badatz does not give a hashkacha on quinoa. They think quinoa is kidneys. Only if you're a Sephardi can you eat quinoa. Ashkenazi Jews can't eat quinoa. Here in America, it's a little different. The Star K came out already a few years ago. They gave an OUP for quinoa. The OU had a little bit of a problem. They had what we'd call an internal issue. Since the issue of quinoa started in 2013, there was a machlokes between Rabbi Belsky and Rav Hirshel Shechter. Rabbi Belsky was on the fence. He wasn't so quick to say, you can be matter, because he felt, since it grows like the other grains, and it's used as a staple of a bread, he thinks it's a problem. If Shechter was of the opinion, he doesn't think it's a problem. He thinks it's like the Ramesha. It's no different than potatoes. He says like the Chayadim, Havod lo Yosef lo Yosef, don't give me new things. If it wasn't around at the time of Rishonim, don't give me problems. So it couldn't come to an opinion. So for the first year or two, they gave no psak. The OU didn't say anything about quinoa. They couldn't render a decision. In 2014, Rabbi Belsky came a little bit, around, and he decided he thinks quinoa is okay. Now today, it's not a problem. The OU gives a hashkacha, complete OUP for quinoa, but you should just know, if you're going to eat quinoa on Pesach, you should know what goes into your quinoa. They sent a mashkiach down to Central America to watch this quinoa being picked and processed, the whole procedure to make sure it never gets mixed in. So some yid had to sit out there and say, we can eat quinoa on Pesach. But the OU today has OUP quinoa because they hold it's not kidneyous. They hold that today they check it to make sure there's no chashos of any mixed in kernels. They hold it's not included in the list of kidneyous, and they hold it's completely kosher OUP. That is the opinion of the Star K, that is the opinion of the OU, that was the opinion of the CRC already a few years ago. Rabbi Schwartz from the CRC held quinoa was not a problem. The OU took a little while to jump on board. But not everyone agrees. It's not a poshita thing. Not everyone agrees for a davar poshita that quinoa is not kidneyous. So if a person is going to eat quinoa on Pesach, it's a shayla. Again, the OU gives ashkacha, the CRC, but the kashrus in Canada, if you're going to find yourself in Toronto, the COR of Toronto does not give ashkacha to quinoa. They think quinoa is kidneys. And there are various rabbanim that you'll speak to privately and you'll ask them and you'll say, "Nu, what do you think of quinoa?" So some rabbanim will tell you they think quinoa is kidneys. There's a whole list of different rabbanim who sign off, yes, pro, some yes, some no, yes against it, no against it. Not everyone is on the same page when it comes to quinoa. But that's a little bit of the background of the shayla to understand, does it fit the criteria of the Rishonim to should it have been prohibited? If the Rishonim lived today, would they have prohibited it, or does it matter? Once we got through, it's not our problem. That's the big shayla, so to say, with the quinoa. But there's some other major things that pertain to kidneys. There's a shayla of, let's say, cottonseed oil. Cottonseed oil is used in so many of our goods today that we use for Pesach. What's cottonseed oil? They take a seed and they squeeze out the oil. It's cottonseed oil. Is that also prohibited in the Isra of kidneys? So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, kidneys you're allowed to use for fire. You're allowed to burn kidneys, you can't eat kidneys. But what happens if you want to take the cottonseed oil and eat that? What would that be? So there are those who say that would be a problem. In Eretz Yisrael, for a while they were matar cottonseed oil. Wasn't a problem. In Minchas Yitzchak, also a Rabbi Weiss, he lived in England, he wrote a tshuva where he thinks it's a problem. He thinks cottonseed oil is a problem. Today in Eretz Yisrael, cottonseed oil is no longer on the market. Cottonseed oil is now considered kidneys. In America, cottonseed oil is not a problem. So you can buy cottonseed oil in America, you won't have a problem. No one thinks it's a cottonseed oil presents any halachic issue of kidneys. There's another more complex shaylob called kidney shenishtane. Something starts off as a kidneys, but it changes to various things. The most relevant shaylob to this is that you start off with cornstarch, and by the time you're done, you have something known as citric acid. But it changes. There's enzymes, things that are added, a whole procedure to how you get to the end. So it's nishtane. It's no longer the original thing. This was also a big debate amongst the kashrus organizations. The OU is matter. The OU holds kidney shenishtane. If it changes from its original form, does not present a problem. Not everyone agrees to that either. There are those rabbanim that disagree. If you look at Rabbi Blumenkranz's Sefer, he was very against that. He held that was wrong. Kidney shenishtane held was a problem. But the OU came around that they hold kidney shenishtane is not a problem. Now, believe it or not, there's a lot of things that we use today that might have kidneys in it. The paper towels, Bounty paper towels, might have kidneys in it. So there are those that are makbid on Pesach, when they take out the new roll of Bounty, they won't use the first sheet. Because they think the first sheet with the glue, that part might have kidneys. Rabbi Blumenkranz takes it a step further. He thinks every piece has kidneys in it, or at least suffer kidneys.
So you said you could have enough, maybe not eating the baby.
So he says in that case, you shouldn't use it to wipe down your kelim, maybe, or any hot food that you want to use. If you want to wipe down your table, it shouldn't be a problem, 100%. Also, where there might be kidneys is in the stamps. There are people that don't lick stamps on Pesach, because the chayshish, that whatever is there in the glue, could have kidneys in it. So they're makbid not to lick it. They won't use their mouth. They'll take a piece of, they'll wet something and go like that. But they won't put their mouth to it because their choshish, again, there's no, pasha is not a problem. But their choshish, maybe this kidney is in the glue that holds the, closes the stamp or that closes a letter, and therefore they're makbid. There are those that were worried about aluminum pans. Some say aluminum pans, they put a little oil on the bottom. That oil is probably kidneys. It's cornstarch. It's probably from some form of a bean oil. So there are those that are makbid today also that they'll rinse out their aluminum pans before using them. There are those who won't use plastic on plastic cups, plastic bowls. They think there's kidneys there also. There are those who won't put food in plastic bags. I mean like shopping bags, not the Ziplocs, because they think there's also lined in with kidneys. So kidneys has come very far to what exactly we choshish for with the kidneys. The question is, how late can you eat kidneys?
It started out being mutter.
It started being mutter, and now all of a sudden you can't even put it in a bag. It's ironic. This chumrah gained power as it went on. Usually things, you know, taper off and get more. This one just got stronger and stronger throughout history. It's interesting that the shaila is, when can't you eat kidneys? Let's say a person wants to have a bowl of rice, Erev Pesach in the morning. Are you allowed to eat kidneys? So this is also a shaila in the achrenim. Some achrenim say you can eat it up till the zman es hachametz. If it's a safek es hachametz, so then you can eat it up till the zman es hachametz. Some people have a minhag not to eat rice already, on Erev Pesach. So the shayla, let's say a person needs it. He needs it for his stomach purposes. He needs it for he's a chayla. He needs to eat his rice milk, his rice cereal, whatever he has. So in that case, there are poiskim that are mekel. His kidney is muktzah on Shabbos and Pesach. What about if you find yourself that you have kidneys in the house? Is it muktzah? So the achrenim suggests it's not muktzah, because you can always give it to your Sephardish friend. So you can always give it to your Sephardi friend. You don't have any Sephardi friends. You might get a Sephardi friend one day. So since you might get a Sephardi friend one day, so kidneys don't become muktzah. You'd be allowed to move kidneys. So if a person has kidneys in his house, and he opens up his drawer, and he realizes, oh, I got kidneys here. Okay, so you can move them. They don't become muktzah. Interestingly enough, not all Sephardim eat rice. We all think, oh, Sephardim eat rice. It's not true. A lot of Sfarim B'davka don't eat rice. Moroccan Jews do not eat rice, because rice has the largest chance of having something mixed in. So therefore, even those that do eat rice, they're very, very, very careful. And they check it over and over and over again to sit and sift through each piece of rice, just so they can have sushi on Pesach, to make sure there's no wheat mixed in. So we think, oh, Sfarim, they're okay. No, they're not okay. They can't just buy any rice they want. And even the kosher rice that's not enriched, they're still very, very careful not to put things in it. The Klausenberger Rebbe said in his Shabbos HaGadol Drosha in 1980 that he remembers in Klausenberg that when the war was affecting everyone, so there was a discussion, should there be matir kidneys? So he writes that they were matir kidneys, but none of the people wanted to even touch the kidneys. But he writes, but to be matir machine matzah, no one would have even dreamed, even during the Holocaust, to be matir machine matzah. So writes the Klausenberger Rebbe. They will not be matir kidneys, but machine matzah, thus we can't eat. Mr. Shem, next week we'll talk about how bad is machine matzah, and maybe you could use machine matzah for the Seder and for the rest of Pesach, and we'll discuss more shilas pertaining to the actual little Seder and the hagas of the night of the Seder.